was spoken to Arjuna, Aryans. For that matter, those who are elevated than other parts of the world. So basically, those who are following Varnashram Dharma, Vedic culture, civilized human society, and Aryan civilization it is called as. And second, we saw that it is especially for Rajarshis, saintly kings. I gave three reasons why it is meant for saintly kings. What are the three reasons? Who will tell? Three reasons. What happens if they overcome by material affection? That is first one. Second one?
So that they make people follow dharma and protect them from bodily lust.
Third one?
Kings must also have the knowledge of the state.
That is connected to first, no? Because they have knowledge of self, knowledge of self-realization, they will not be affected by material attachment. Second, they will do their duty of protecting others and set example. Yadyada acharati, I was quoting, set example for others. And especially subtle, not just protecting from external harm, so protecting the consciousness of the people from the bondage of lust. So these are the three things which we discussed, why it was told to Rajarshis. Then third one is those who are seeking self-realization. So by following Varnashram Dharma, gradually ignorance is removed. There are different processes. Self-realization is most important in that. For such students, Bhagavad Gita is meant. And fourth category is devotees. So Krishna says this should be explained to devotees. And fifth one is those who are faithful. They are not engaged in devotional service, but they are not envious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they have faith. So then we were discussing how Bhagavad Gita is not sectarian. And we were discussing who cannot understand. Those four classes of people for whom the Bhagavad Gita is not meant. So the same class cannot understand it. Demons, non-devotees, generally they cannot understand. Now who can understand? So basically those five classes which we mentioned, so they can understand. But Prabhupada explains this in a different way. So Arjuna was the original student of Bhagavad Gita, and so those who have similar qualities that of Arjuna, they can understand Bhagavad Gita. So imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyam vivasvan manave praha manurikshvakave bravit evam parampara praptam imam rajarsho vidu sakale neha mahata yogo nasta parantapa. रयेवायम मया तेद्य योग प्रोक्त पुरातन भक्तोसिमि सका चेति रहस्यम ये तदुत्तमम। हियर द लॉर्ड सो ही इज टेलिंग आई स्पोक दिस नॉलेज टू विवस्वान, विवस्वान स्पोक इट टू मनु, मनु स्पोक इट टू इक्ष्वाकु। इन दिस वे in disciplic succession the saintly kings received this knowledge, but as time passed this knowledge was lost, it became unmanifest. So now I am, because you are my devotee and friend, I am telling the same age old ancient science of yoga to you again, he says. So why Krishna is telling to Arjuna? Because Arjuna was a devotee and his friend, he can understand. Therefore, he wanted to tell this knowledge to Arjuna. What is the use of telling this to people who so who do not understand it? So one should develop the qualities like Arjuna. So Srila Prabhupada in introduction to Bhagavad Gita he elaborates. It's just in the beginning, in the introduction, in the second paragraph after the prayers, Mangalacharan prayers. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 4.1-3, the Lord says, he quotes those verses. Here the Lord informs Arjuna that this system of yoga, the Bhagavad Gita, was first spoken to Sun God, and Sun God explained it to Manu, explained it to Ikshvaku, and in that way, by disciplic succession, one speaker after another, this yoga system has been coming down, but in the course of time it has become lost. Consequently, the Lord has to speak it again, this time to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He tells Arjuna that he is relating this supreme secret to him because Arjuna is his devotee and his friend. The purport of this is that because that Bhagavad Gita is a treatise which is especially meant for devotee of the Lord, there are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the jnani. Now, it appears here that Prabhupada is mentioning, you know, this one, whom the Bhagavad Gita is meant for. And we are here. Who can understand Bhagavad Gita? So, that we have discussed that it is meant for Bhagavad, you know, devotees. So, now how devotees only can understand, Srila Prabhupada is going to explain. There are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the jnani, the yogi and the bhakta, or the impersonalist, the meditator and the devotee. Here the Lord clearly tells Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara, disciplic succession, because where you are seeing, where I am reading, disturbed mind. So here the Lord clearly tells Arjuna that he is making him the first receiver of a new parampara because the old succession was broken. It was the Lord's wish therefore to establish another parampara in the same line of thought that was coming down from the Sun God to others. And it was his wish that his teaching be distributed anew by Arjuna. He wanted Arjuna to become the authority in understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So we see that Bhagavad Gita is instructed to Arjuna especially because Arjuna was a devotee of the Lord, a direct student of Krishna, and he is intimate friend. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is best understood by a person who has qualities similar to Arjuna. That is to say, he must be a devotee in direct relationship with the Lord. So who can understand, right? Who can understand? As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he also has a direct relationship with the Lord. That is a very elaborate subject matter, but briefly it can be stated that devotee is in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of the five different ways. One may be a devotee in a passive state, one may be a devotee in an active state, one may be a devotee as a friend, one may be a devotee as a parent, one may be a devotee as a conjugal lover. So now, you may wonder that unless we are in relationship with Krishna, then we are not going to understand Bhagavad Gita. Right? Unless we are in direct, you hear the word, direct is used. Unless you are in one of these five rasas, one cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. Right? That is the meaning of this. It is true that one can really understand Bhagavad Gita only when we are on the stage of prema. This is rasas means prema, right? When once we are come to the stage in nine stages of Bhagavad Gita, nine stages of bhakti, ado, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, anartha, nivritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhava and prema. So when one comes to prema, then he will be in direct relationship with Krishna. So only he can understand Bhagavad Gita. But we also, other day we were quoting that verse from Upanishad. Yasya deve parabhakti yatha devi tata guru tasyaite katitai artha prakashante mahatmanaha. So that according to I was mentioning, our degree of our dedication to Guru and Krishna, our faith in Guru and Krishna, so this knowledge will be revealed in the heart. That is one thing. So our dedication and faith will go on increasing as we go up from one stage of bhakti to another stage. So culmination is love of Godhead, being situated in one of the five rasas. And we also later we will be discussing about how there are different stages of Bhagavad Gita study. Nine stages of Bhagavad Gita study, which we will be discussing later. So in this way, it is true that only those who are on the platform of love of Godhead, they can completely understand Bhagavad Gita. But to the degree of our faith and dedication, it will little by little, it will reveal to us. Or we will pass through different stages of understanding Bhagavad Gita, study of Bhagavad Gita. Because we are in the material world, so unfortunately, we have to pass through all these stages. We have forgotten Krishna, we have lost our relationship with Krishna. So therefore, we have to pass through all these stages to come to understand Bhagavad Gita perfectly. And devotees will give, those who have, like Srila Prabhupada, he is devotee in direct relationship with Krishna. So by his mercy we understand Bhagavad Gita. Like we see, you know, there is a song of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadi gaur na hoy to, tabe ki hoy to, kemo na dhari tande. So radhar mahima, prema rasa sima, jani bo, what is that? Ke jani bo, something like that. Who could have understood Radha and the prema rasas, sima, the ultimate point of prema rasa without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So like by the pure mercy of pure devotees, so we understand Bhagavad Gita. So only those devotees who are on that stage can understand. But also, like I was telling, we read that another category devotees means, we were reading that yesterday. We passed through that section yesterday, we were reading. So those who are seeking self-realization, sadhakas also can understand. But as I mentioned, by the mercy of pure devotees. So, what is there? Where is it? So, in the just next page, in the where Prabhupada explains what is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Just what is the Bhagavad Gita? The purpose of Bhagavad Gita. So, leave that paragraph also. Next paragraph. Towards the end, we can see. Yesterday I read this for whom the Bhagavad Gita is meant. That time we were reading this, so we passed through this statement also. Out of many human beings who are suffering, there are a few who are actually inquiring about their position, as to what they are, why they are put into this awkward position, and so on. Unless one is awakened. So read, Balaram, where I left.
Unless one is awakened to his position of questioning his suffering, unless he realizes that he does not want suffering, but rather wants to make a solution to all sufferings, then one is not to be considered as perfect human being. Humanity begins when this sort of inquiry is awake in one's mind. In Brahma Sutras, this is inquired is called Brahma Jignyasa, Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Every activity of the human being is to be considered a failure unless he inquires about the nature of absolute. Therefore, those who begin to question why they are suffering, or where they came from and where they shall go after death, and proper students are for understanding Bhagavad Gita.
So this understanding is, Bhagavad Gita, who can understand? These are the students who can understand. Basically, those who are seeking self-realization. So making solution to the problems of life. The sincere student should also have firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a student was Arjuna, like we were discussing. The person who has qualities like Arjuna can understand Bhagavad Gita. So should have firm respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a student was Arjuna. Okay, so this is for whom or who can understand Bhagavad Gita. Then till now, you see from 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, yeah, 3rd, 4th, 6th, 7th, we were discussing basically what they are, who are qualified and who are not qualified. Who can understand, who cannot understand. So, basically they are all qualities of genuine disciple. Are we discriminated between genuine student of Bhagavad Gita and who are unfit to understand Bhagavad Gita? So, we were making differentiation. Now the question arises, what should be, from whom we should learn Bhagavad Gita or understand Bhagavad Gita? Or in other words, what are the qualifications of the spiritual master, teacher? So that is the 8th. So yesterday I had not mentioned this. So there is change in the sequence of topics, numbering of the topics. So this should come 8th, before these two. Original spiritual master and disciple, and hearing directly from Krishna. So, from whom one should hear or learn Bhagavad Gita? And it also means we will also be discussing from whom we should not learn. So both will go simultaneously. This is very important because I think it is in the memories, not in the conversations. I don't know whether it is recorded in the conversation. We all know, in many times we know that when Prabhupada was traveling, used to go for morning walk in Juhu Beach, and there was one Dr. Patel who used to accompany Srila Prabhupada often in his travel, in morning walks. And Prabhupada often, he will criticize all this. Sadhus, bogus sadhus, gurus, babas, etc. And this fellow, he would say, Swamiji, why you are criticizing others? You are supposed to be saintly person. Saintly person means samadharshi. He should see everyone with equal vision. Other day we were also discussing another story of Prabhupada about equal vision. Should not discriminate. So then Prabhupada, he said, what is the true meaning of samadarshi? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva supake cha pandita samadarshinaha. So pandita, learned person, should be samadarshi. He should not discriminate between brahmana, cows, cows and elephants, hastini, and dog and dog eaters. So everyone he should see with equal vision. Such a person is learned person. So we should not discriminate. Why you are discriminating? This is a good sadhu, this is bad sadhu and all. So like that his argument was. Then Prabhupada said, samadarshi doesn't mean that we should not discriminate from whom we are taking knowledge. So samadarshi means, he says, Prabhupada gives example. When we are taking knowledge, when we are taking knowledge, we should discriminate who is right and who is wrong. Otherwise you will be cheated. Prabhupada used to give example of gold. If you do not know what is gold and you have gone to market to purchase gold, then you will be cheated. People will cheat you. You should know what is gold, where you can find the gold. All this knowledge one should, preliminary knowledge one should have. So it is very important for a disciple to have knowledge before accepting discipleship. So, or becoming disciple. So, in traditional culture, that will come by upbringing or with the help of others, parents. Because now you see, parents are not devotees, most of you are here, like, right? Parents are not devotees. So, therefore, it may become, you may not relate what is being discussed here. Relate to how it is possible that one will know before accepting spiritual master. So now, because due to cultural gap, so we are facing this issue. We are not able to understand how to accept spiritual master or how to be a disciple. That knowledge is missing. So this is the problem. Often we see many devotees who come to, you know, Krishna consciousness movement. They face this difficulty. So they cannot relate what is happening. Or we may take faithfully also that others are, this system is there, others are taking. Or you may get the help of sadhu, because there are three things, guru, sadhu and shastra. So in this way one can overcome this issue. But anyway, that was the system. We would have preliminary knowledge and cultural training before accepting a spiritual master. So anyway, so Prabhupada says you should discriminate when you are taking knowledge, otherwise one will be cheated. So source of knowledge is very, very important. Then he says, but when you are giving knowledge, you should not discriminate. That is the meaning of Samadarshi, he says. I am not discriminating. I am giving it to Americans, Europeans, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, whoever it is. This is the meaning of Samadarshi, he says. While taking knowledge, we should discriminate. While giving knowledge, we should not discriminate. We should give it to everyone. Sectarian. Of course, we are also discussing for whom it is, who is qualified. Qualification is also there. Like you see, Drona. Drona, he did not give knowledge to Ekalavya. So, but he gave knowledge to Arjuna. Of course, we are not saying that Drona is an ideal guru. So, from Bhagavad Gita, we know that they should have not supported, Drona and Bhishma would have not supported. Duryodhana and company just on financial grounds. So, coming back to our point, so we should understand, source of knowledge is very important, from where it is coming, from whom we are hearing. So, we all know, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he says, Tad Vidhi, to understand this transcendental knowledge, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshinaha. So there Lord Krishna, he says that one should approach a spiritual master, surrender to him and learn from him because they will, he will instruct you because he is Sattva Darshinaha. So Krishna is telling the qualification, Jnanina Sattva Darshinaha. He is in knowledge, he is fixed in knowledge, Jnaninas. And he is realized also, not just. So he has theoretical knowledge, Sattva Darshinaha. He has seen the truth. Often we see that there are many in India, now also in the society. So many scholars are there, but they are not Tattvadarshis. So what is the meaning of Tattvadarshi? So, of course, he has seen the truth. He has seen the truth means, truth is Krishna, absolute truth, yes. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. So Tattva Darshi means they have direct communion with Krishna. And also means on practical level, they know how to apply this knowledge in the society. They are realized. So that is the meaning of Darshan. They are realized. For example, there are many traditional scholars. They are very learned, highly learned. They know Sanskrit left and right. They know so many scriptures. Some of them are in Vaishnava Sampradayas also. And they all think that they identify themselves with Hinduism, Hindu Dharma. We have to spread Hindu Dharma, they say, you know, right or not. So that is what a sectarian it is. That means they did not realize the truth. So truth is never a sectarian it is. Got the idea? So truth is for, it is equally holds good or true for whether it is Christians, Muslims or Hindus or everyone. So in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not speaking Hindu Dharma. He is speaking the truth. So he is true knowledge. They say we have to spread Hindu Dharma. Oh, you are all doing great. Sometimes they appreciate us. Oh, you are doing great for spreading Hindu Dharma, they say. So, or sometimes you may find them appreciating Vivekananda. Oh, Vivekananda is a great. Like that. That means they did not understand. Vivekananda is a nonsense. So, or they will say Ravi Shankar, and so many yogis, babas, and so many other places. Someone can give him chair, no? So they are. They may appreciate such people. So that is a sign that they are not tattvadarshi. So one should be tattvadarshi. One should have clear vision, realization of the knowledge given. So Srila Prabhupada was a tattvadarshi. He had a clear vision. Another example for this is within our Gaudiya Sampradaya. No one, you see, there are many Gaudiya gurus, Gaudiya preachers. So you won't see them preaching about Varnashrama and preaching about. They never made a projects like farm community. Prabhupada did it. Why? Because he understood. He has that how to apply this knowledge to the society. He had that vision, that darshan. So that is a sign of Tattvadarshi Guru. So he knows how to apply this. Like in Bhagavad Gita, we see there is description about mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. And there is description of divine and the demonic society. So in demonic society, it is very difficult to practice devotional service. So therefore, and mode of goodness is very important for practicing devotional service. So therefore, how we will create that environment? So he had that vision. So others may talk about Krishna Prema, Dasa, Dasanu, Dasa, servant of the servant of the servant, or some Radha Leela or something like that. So, but unless this, or Gopi Bhav, some of the disciples of Prabhupada also started Gopi Bhav Club. So unless you churn butter in farm community, how you will understand what is the role of Gopi in Leela's, Krishna Leela's? Unless you, right or not? So that experience, how they are going to jump from IT company to Goloka Vrindavan, where there is cow protection. How they are going to jump? So anyway, that's a point. So this is the meaning of tattva darshina. So and other basic things are there. So Srila Prabhupada, he says that spiritual master should be in disciplic succession from time immemorial, does not deviate at all from the instructions of Krishna. As it is, again and again, Prabhupada was pounding into the head of all his followers and people in general. I am presenting as it is. No changing. So, that is the meaning of does not deviate at all from the instructions. So, that is the point. We will read the quote. Four point. See, this Tadviti Pranipatena is 434. But the summary is given in the our quote, relevant for our discussion in relation with because that 434 may give some generic what in a spiritual master, but particularly we are discussing from whom we should learn Bhagavad Gita. So in 442 there is a section in the purport. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita. You got it? You got it? Read. Read. Animesh.
One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a spiritual master.
So towards the end of the purport, you got it or not? Yeah. Loudly.
With the
service and surrender. So, one is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master. So, from whom we should learn, that is our topic. With service and surrender. That we will discuss how to understand Bhagavad Gita, service and surrender. How one can understand Bhagavad Gita, that will come later. After this will be how to understand Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Then?
A bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal. And
yeah. So, parampara, evam parampara praptam. Then?
And he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord, as they were imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom.
He should not deviate. This also means he should be a representative of Krishna.
One should therefore follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement. Aggrandizement.
What is the meaning of aggrandizement? Self-promotion. Self-aggrandizement. Who deviate others from actual path. Basically, people want to show their scholarship and knowledge, and they want to use Bhagavad Gita for that. So, my point of view, they say. My point of view. I have written this, my point of view. My translation according to my point of view. What is the use of your point of view? And why you are using Krishna's Bhagavad Gita for your point of view? You write your own Bhagavad Gita. Why you are using Krishna's Bhagavad Gita? So be aware of them, he says. Then?
The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person and His activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita.
So this is last two statements. It is, what is the right understanding of Bhagavad Gita? What is the right understanding of Bhagavad Gita? One should accept Krishna as the transcendental. Janma karma cha me divyam. So this is summary of fourth chapter. In another place, Prabhupada, he said that one should not learn from academic scholars, should learn from realized soul. Basically same Tattva Darshina 6.8. So the verse itself says about a person who is fixed in samadhi. So such person, he is who is fixed in samadhi, he is not interested in anything external, and the context, if you see the previous verses, is speaking about self-control, one who has controlled his mind and senses. So that will also come. Because spiritual master also should be self-controlled. In Upadeshamrita first verse we see, no? Vacho vegam manasaha krodha vegam jiva vegam udaropastha vegam yetan veganyo vishahe tadiraha sarvam api mam prathvim sashishya. Who can make disciples all over the world? that in other words, what is the qualification of the spiritual master? Jagat Guru. So he should have, don't shake legs. So Jagat Guru, he should have control over six urges. Vacho vegam manasa krodha vegam jibha vegam udaropastha vegam. So he is dhira. He can be a spiritual master. Therefore he should be self-controlled. And he should be realized, self-realized, fixed in samadhi. Jnana vijnana traptatma. Kutosto vijitendriyaha yukta ityuchate yogi samaloshtrashmakanchanaha. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be people, stones or gold, as the same. So this is very, this realization, samaloshtrashmakanchana. He is not chasing behind material wealth, gold, stones, etc. So second paragraph you see. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. 6.8. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. From whom we can learn the science of Bhagavad Gita? One who is a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. He is not interested in anything material. He is simply satisfied doing devotional service to Krishna. So, by realized knowledge one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions, but by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with the mundane scholarship. So we should not learn from mundane scholarship scholars. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. So he is not interested in MA, MSc, BSc, BE, MTech. For him, PhD, sometime in India, many professors, they write a PhD in Canada, PhD in America. We are supposed to respect them for that. But for the such, they are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. Sometime in Krishna consciousness movement also. What you studied? Recently who was telling me? Someone was telling me. He met some devotees on the train and those devotees asked him, what did you study? This devotee told, I left our college in the middle or something like that. Our Vrindavan Chandra. This was told by someone else to me, but our Vrindavan Chandra. Why you left? See all these brahmacharis, he has done M.Tech in IIT, he has done PhD in IIM, this, that. But here Prabhupada is telling, that is not the qualification of a guru or a teacher or a preacher. So, preacher should feel that it's all just tones, pebbles, which we don't care. Okay, so this is from whom we should learn. The first thing is actually, it should be, now we were discussing about representative of Krishna. Generally what, Vedic knowledge is what? It should be learned from descending process. So there is ascending process and descending process. From authority. Descending process means hearing from authority. Avaroha Pantha. So we all know ultimately Krishna is the authority, supreme authority on knowledge. Other day I was discussing how Krishna is the supreme authority on knowledge. We should either learn from Krishna or his representative. So, in 10.15 purport, Prabhupada he writes there, Bhagavad Gita is a statement of Krishna, it is a science of Krishna. It should be learned from Krishna, not from atheistic persons, he says. So then in 15.19 also, Prabhupada says, Vedic knowledge is a comes from oral reception. So, therefore it should be learned from authorities, Krishna or his representative, he says. 15.19 purport. So, in this way, either we should learn it from Krishna or his representatives. So, until now we discussed qualities of student who is willing to learn Bhagavad Gita and the spiritual master who is teaching Bhagavad Gita. Then we will go to the next point, that is, so original spiritual master and disciple. So, who are the original spiritual master and disciple of Bhagavad Gita?
Krishna and Arjuna.
Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna are original spiritual master. In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentioning, because this knowledge is lost, Arjuna, Krishna wanted to revive this knowledge. So he wanted Arjuna to become first student. He wanted Arjuna to become authority and understanding Bhagavad Gita. We have read that quote. So therefore, he wanted, and we all know that actually, that because Bhagavad Gita is meant for devotees, devotees only can understand that. So who can be better candidate than Arjuna in hearing Bhagavad Gita? So he to choose, Krishna did not choose Duryodhana to, or Dhritarashtra to, fortunately Dhritarashtra got up to hear, but he did not hear that. He did not hear. What is the meaning of that? Like in second canto of Bhagavatam, in the beginning, when Shukdev Goswami started speaking, so he told people, see, but they do not see. Pashyan api na pashyati. Similarly, people hear, but they do not hear. But we know one person who heard Bhagavad Gita. Who is that? Arjuna. He heard. Of course, there may be many. I am not polarizing. So, maybe some of you must have heard Bhagavad Gita. So, but we know surely that one person who heard Bhagavad Gita, that is Arjuna. So we will discuss more this in result of understanding Bhagavad Gita, result of hearing Bhagavad Gita. What is the result of hearing Bhagavad Gita? What should happen? There is a section which we will be going to discuss. So when we hear Bhagavad Gita, that result should happen. That is the meaning of real hearing. So Arjuna is the original student of Bhagavad Gita. So we see in two-point purport, Prabhupada he says, so he says, you see, now we see in the second chapter and first chapter, we all know Arjuna became overcome by material attachment. Due to material attachment, he was giving up his duty of fighting. He was giving up dharma. So, but Prabhupada amazingly he analyzes. Being intelligent, I am reading from 2.7, paragraph number 3. Third paragraph in the middle, it is there, you see. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. So he says, being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Arjuna was intelligent. What he identified what is his problem. Most of the people in this world, they don't identify what is their problem. So, nor they know any solution for their problems. Often people talk. I had seen some television serial. Aaj ke mulaqat. It is there still? Some news channel it is. They will bring some politicians and all some current affairs they will discuss. And some so-called think tank, what we call as think tank. So great thinkers, they will come and talk their opinions. So they discuss what is the problem, problem with the nation, and what are the solution, this should be the solution, and all they talk. No one knows what is the problem, no one knows what is the solution. But Arjuna was intelligent. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Sometimes it happens, even when others convince them this is the problem, they will not realize it. There are such categories also. Even when others point out, or other explain, this is the problem with you, my dear Prabhu. But they will not understand it. They're such helpless, hopeless condition. Helpless and hopeless condition. We had one case like this, like that here now, previously. So, you must be knowing, understood or not. So, in this way, even if you explain to them, this is your problem, they will not realize it. So, being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members. But one characteristic of such people, they know that they know everything. They feel that they know everything. That is their problem. That itself becomes cause of their problem. Therefore, it is told, no, in front of Guru, one should be fool. One should be fool. That story is there. So, two students came to learn mridanga from a teacher, and then the teacher took interview of them. The first student, he asked, what do you know about mridanga? I know this, 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 this. And he showed it like that. Then teacher told, okay, every month 500 rupees fees. Then the second student came and he asked him, what do you know about mridanga? I don't know anything. Okay, 200 rupees every month. And the first student, when he realized that, oh, I am being charged more, then he asked the Guruji, why it is like that? Why discrimination to me? So then Guruji showed him, my dear child, your glass is full, he said. What is the meaning of glass is full? If glass is full, if you pour something in that, it will spill out. Therefore, first we have to clean your glass, empty your glass, and then we have to fill. Then only something will go like that inside. So this is called glass is full in attitude. Glass is full in attitude. So it's very important. And the first thing Krishna told to Arjuna also. Arjuna also was exhibiting this attitude to Krishna. He was quoting, I have heard Anushushruma in the first chapter, if you see there, it comes. I have heard from the authorities that killing such relatives will cause eternal hellish condition. I have to suffer eternally in the hell. So he was telling his knowledge of the Shastra. So then Krishna first thing he told, in a gentlemanly way he told, roundabout way he told. You are speaking like an intelligent person, but you are a fool, he said. You are a fool. But he told it in a roundabout way. Intelligent people do not speak like this. They do not lament for that which is living and that which is dead. So, in this way, one should not have glass. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he told that, my guru considered me to be a fool, therefore I am not fit to study Vedanta, and he has told me to chant Hare Krishna. He said this to Prakashanand Saraswati. Indirectly he is telling you, Prakashanand Saraswati and company, you are all fools. You are not fit to study Vedanta, he said. That was the point he making. But anyway, the point is that disciple should be fool in front. He should not show. Even if you know something also, keep quiet. So, don't show yourself in front of spiritual master. So, one should be fool in front of spiritual master. But anyway, Arjuna was intelligent. At last, he surrendered. He surrendered. That is the sign of his intelligence. Because you see in this 7th verse, he is surrendering. Shishyasteham shadimam dvam prapannam. So he is surrendering at last. If you come to that point, I was telling, the essence of all the things is, we study Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Shastri, whatever. Ultimate point is, if we can submit to Guru and Krishna, then we are considered intelligent. Otherwise we will be eternally remain fools in relation with his. There are so many examples on this. Just you can go on speaking. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was expressing regard for his spiritual master. This is another foolish activity, always playing with that. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I was so proud of my intellect and learning in mathematics. And my character, moral character, he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. And I was in the mood that anyone can come, whether in the day or night, I will smash them. So, but this person, he says about Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he just didn't care everything what I had. He just neglected me. So I thought either he must be too highly proud and puffed up, or something great is there within him, so which makes all my qualifications very insignificant. I am paraphrasing here, not the same lines and words. So in this way, then he says, Bhakti says, oh fools, he says, don't make the same mistake which I did, he says. Don't think yourself to be very learned, he says. Means, especially in terms, that doesn't mean that we become, you go to some people in the society and be Trunada, be Sunichena there. You have to preach Krishna consciousness, right or not? You should not discriminate who is that Madhyama Adhikari discriminates between four people. Ishvara Tadadineshu. Tadadineshu means devotees. Balisheshu, Dvishashu, innocent and envious. Accordingly he deals with them. Prema, Maitri, Krapa, Apeksha. So that is Madhyama. Anyway, being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still on account of miserly weakness he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the supreme spiritual master, to make a definite solution. So here Prabhupada qualifies Krishna as the supreme spiritual master, because he is supreme authority on knowledge. He offers himself to Krishna as disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks between the master and the disciple are serious, and now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. So friendly talks are you, what you are going to gain. In spiritual life, friendly talks will not help. So one should submit oneself to a spiritual master. Friendly talks means what? They may talk about some mundane subject matters. And then you don't have to follow anything. You don't have to. Prabhupada told this shaking leg is a sign of disturbed mind, he said. So please don't shake, he said. He didn't say, please, I am telling, please. So I told many people not to shake. So, coming back to our point that friendly talks are useless. What is the use, right? So, Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita, right? Original spiritual master and student. So, later portion we'll read afterwards how to understand Bhagavad Gita, that is. So, till here. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. So, the next session is hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna. So, who can understand Bhagavad Gita? Here we were discussing from whom one should hear and learn Bhagavad Gita. So we were discussing either directly from Krishna or his representatives. And here we learned original spiritual master and disciple. Original spiritual master. When we hear about this, we feel that, oh, we should have learned directly from Krishna like Arjuna. We should feel like that, right? Did you feel like that? If you are attentive, you will feel like that. Right? Maybe I did not present it properly. So, we may feel like that. Sometime you may see, in first canto of Bhagavatam, there is a description. When for many months Krishna stayed in Hastinapura, then he went back to Dwaraka. Just before that, Kunti Devi prays to Arjuna Krishna. Before that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was telling, stay back some more time. This is after the war, Kurukshetra war. Then Krishna went to Dwaraka after 3 months. So just before he reached the Dwaraka fort, he blew his conch shell. And residents of Dwaraka are waiting for Krishna to come for long. They are feeling separation from Krishna. And as soon as they heard the conch shell of Krishna, they immediately started running towards Krishna. So, and there are many symptoms of ecstasy described among in the devotees of Dwaraka there. And even that conch shell is also glorified by Suta Goswami. So he says, yeah, conch shell, it was appearing like a white, big bellied white swan playing in the red lotus flowers. So Krishna's lips are red, and Panchajanya is white, and the belly of the conch shell, generally it would be big, right, or not belly. So big bellied white swan playing in red lotus flower. Swans, they play with lotus flowers. So, and Krishna's hands are also palms, Krishna's palms, Krishna's soles, they are all red in color. So, in this way, it was appearing like that. And how they ran, some people, everyone was engaged in different activities. And as soon as they heard the sound of conch shell, immediately they started running towards Krishna, and they collected different gifts. So the feeling. So you may feel, oh, we also could have heard that conch shell, you know, sound of the conch shell. So in Bhagavad Gita also we see that in the beginning. So Krishna sounded conch shell. But then what happened? Radayani Vedarayat. They did not become ecstatic, Kauravas, like residents of Dwaraka. So different. According to our attitude, so we will receive Krishna's mercy. So anyway, coming back to the point, so there in the purport, Prabhupada writes that now also we can hear the same sound of Panchajanya. How we can hear? Same sound of Panchajanya. Now also you can hear. Anyone remembers? All of you read first canto of Bhagavatam. The sound of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is not different from sound of Panchajanya. It's the same transcendental sound vibration. First time when I read Krishna book, I was reading that 21st chapter, Venu Gita, you know, song of the flute, song of the flute. So there a description is there. When Krishna plays on his flute, what and all happens? Yamuna stops flowing. Waves of the Yamuna stop. And deer, generally they are very restless animals there. They just stand still and, you know. Generally ears of the deers are very, you know, sharp, cute. Acute. So they attentively hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And you know, if cows are drinking the milk of cows and they are holding nipples in their mouth, instead of drinking, they just stand still holding the nipples in their mouth without sucking, you know. You know, queens, demigods are going along with their damsels, along with their wives, even in the presence of their husbands. So, they become disturbed, hearing the sound. In this way, entire universe, in different ways, respond to the sound of Krishna's flute. So I was reading. I also felt, oh, we could have also heard this sound. And then again Prabhupada specifies immediately after that. In Krishna book you can read, the sound of Hare Krishna mantra is non-different from sound of Krishna's flute. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. So unfortunately, because our heart is Tadashmasaram radayam batedam, in the second canto Shukadeva Goswami said, our heart is steel framed, it doesn't melt after hearing the sound of Hare Krishna. Navikriyete tayata vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harshaha. Because heart is steel framed, we do offenses towards holy name, therefore heart becomes hard, it doesn't melt by hearing the sound of. So therefore there are no symptoms. Netre jalam gatra ruheshu harshaha. Tears are not flowing, hairs are not standing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on that verse of Bhagavatam, he says, those who artificially show these symptoms, their also heart is also steel framed, he says. Sahajiyas. So we should not artificially also show. So anyway, we should feel that, oh, we should have heard Bhagavad Gita directly. So in Bhagavad Gita itself there is one example. We should know that Bhagavad Gita is not bound, because it is a transcendental subject matter. It is also transcendental sound. It is not bound by geographical proximity and time limits. So now we are away from Kurukshetra, and 5000 years after being Bhagavad Gita being spoken, still we can hear Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna, because Bhagavad Gita is not a mundane sound, it is or mundane subject matter, so which is bound by geographical proximity. For instance, you may see some picture of some cinema sports star or cinema stars or something, but if you actually see, there is difference, right or not? Experience is difference. So therefore they want to directly see them. They become happy if some cinema star comes to the city, right? So I saw this cinema star, they say, they tell me. So the experience is different. But in connection with Bhagavad Gita or transcendental subject matter, this experience is not different. We can have the same experience now also. So within Bhagavad Gita, there is an example of one who is away from Krishna, from physical, geographical, from the point of view of geographical proximity, but still he is directly hearing Bhagavad Gita. Anyone knows? This is the example? Sanjaya. So he tells in the end, of after narrating all these things to Dhritarashtra, he says, Vyasa prasada shrutavan etad guhyam aham param yogam yogeshwarat krishna sakshat katayata svayam. So by the mercy of Vyasa, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. So sakshat katayata svayam, I have directly heard from the master of all mysticism, Yogeshwarat, Krishnat. Yogam Yogeshwarat Krishnat. Yogam means the science of yoga. Yogeshwarat, the master of all mysticism, Krishna. Katayata Swayam. Now, directly hearing from Krishna, that doesn't mean that we will put our feet on the spiritual master head. Spiritual master then directly hear. Just like Mayavadis, they accept spiritual master until they realize that what is within themselves and what is within that spiritual master is one. They accept him as a guru, and afterwards I and he is one. Everyone is one, right? That is the meaning of Advaita, right? So they may worship Krishna. They also do Pancha Upasana. Worship of Vishnu, Durga, Shiva, Ganesha, and Surya. They will go to all these temples, like Shankara, Kanchi Shankara, especially the previous one was, not the present one. I don't present one. Daily he would go to Varadaraj temple also. So daily, every day he will go to. So he will go to Varadaraj temple not thinking that Krishna, Varadaraj is the supreme personality of Godhead. For him, whether Shiva or Varadaraj, both are one only. In this way, so he thinks, they think that. So all are one. This is complete Vedic philosophy, they say actually. Only Shankaracharya gave the complete Vedic philosophy. So other acharyas, they gave only one part of that. Only Vishnu is the supreme. That is only one part of the Vedic philosophy, they say. How they interpret, you see. Right or not? So they are so illogical. Supreme means there should not be equivalent. There should not be superior. So in this way, and now the question arises, okay, Supreme is one, but he assumes different forms. So therefore he must have assumed the form of Durga, Shiva, like that. So that may question. Shankara himself, refuted that point. Why these devotees need so many gods? One god is not sufficient for them, like that he refutes in his Vedanta Sutra commentary. That is to refute that there is no variegatedness. Ultimately, Advaita, one, everything is one. So because many forms, why Lord assumes many forms? Mani Rata, Vibhagena, Neela Pita, Adibiryuta, Rupa Vedam, Mavapnyoti, Dhyana Vedastata, Achyuta. Anyway, these are all so much, different topics. So, Lord assumes different forms for the sake of exchanging loving relationship with his devotees, different rasas. By negating that Lord does not assume so many forms, Shankara wants to refute the point of variegatedness. There is no ultimately variegatedness. There is only Advaita, only. So everything is Brahma. No variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. There is no enjoyment on the spiritual platform. So Brahma, only on material platform there is enjoyment. So like that, he does it. So in this way, they are contradicting themselves, Mayavadis. So they cannot. It's all whole speculation, whole mental, made up religion. So, it's not that in this verse you see, Vyasa Prasada Shrutvan, Etad Guhyam Aham Param, this most confidential, Guhyam Aham Param, I understood, I heard it. Shrutavan means heard, not just understanding. I heard it, Yogam, Yogeshwarat Krishna, Sakshat. So directly hearing from Krishna, that doesn't mean that there is no role of spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, I could hear. So in this way, by the mercy of the spiritual master, every page of Bhagavad Gita you will see Krishna. Krishna is directly speaking to you. So in the purport of Prabhupada, he talks about many subject matter, but the whole main focus is on how one can directly hear from Krishna through the spiritual master and parampara. That is the point, focus. So in this many other points come, but still I will just read the whole purport. For example, in the third paragraph of the purport, in Bhagavad Gita, all yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga are all explained. This is what is the content of Bhagavad Gita? What are the subjects of Bhagavad Gita? So in this way, many other topics are coming here, but main is how directly one can hear from Krishna. Vyasa was the spiritual master of Sanjaya, and Sanjaya admits that it was by Vyasa's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of God. And this means that one has to understand Krishna not directly through the medium of spiritual master, but through the medium. How to this? I was telling, many topics come here. How to understand Bhagavad Gita? The spiritual master is the transparent medium. Although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of disciplic succession. This point is very important for us. The spiritual master is the transparent medium. Although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear Bhagavad Gita directly as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all yoga systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto Krishna. So one who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last. So this is conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna's instructions. Narada is the, so coming back to our point, directly hearing from Bhagavad Gita. Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyasa. Therefore, Vyasa is a bona fide as Arjuna because he comes in the disciplic succession. And Sanjaya is the direct disciple of Vyasa. Therefore, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya's senses were purified and he could see that and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. if one does not come to the disciplic succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, this knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as the understanding of Bhagavad Gita is concerned. Then next, it is to be understood, however, that Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly. So, by the grace of Vyasa, Sanjaya was also able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via bona fide spiritual master like Vyasa. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to Vedic system, on the birthday of spiritual master, the disciple conduct the ceremony called Vyasa Puja. So you see, now this purpose, again and again Prabhupada is saying the same thing, you know, three times in three paragraphs he is the same, you know, stressing the importance of spiritual master in understanding Bhagavad Gita, or directly hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And towards the end here is telling how one should be indebted to spiritual master. Therefore, a disciple performs this ceremony. Disciples conduct the ceremony called Vyasa Puja. It's not that we have to worship Guru once in a year. That should be done. That ceremony should be done. That is officially we are expressing. But every moment we should worship spiritual master by following his instructions. So Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, any questions, comments?
Prabhu, this Evam Parampara Praptam Rajasya Vidva, this version in which this Parampara is explained, this Sun God. So this comes in which Parampara, this out of the four Sampradayas? It is part of Parampara, it is a different part of that.
So, four, there cannot be fifth Sampradaya. So, only four Sampradayas. Which one, I don't know, I have not traced it. But the point is there, Krishna is the speaker.
So then it is said, no,
generally these sampradayas are spoken, you know, they are in relation with Kali Yuga actually, especially. Of course, since time immemorial these four sampradayas are going on from the beginning of the creation, but especially in Padma Purana when it says that first it speaks about these four sampradayas, sampradaya vihine mantraste, then it speaks about what are these four sampradayas and who will be the acharyas in four sampradayas. So now you see Krishna is directly speaking to Vivaswan. Ideally any parampara to be bona fide, it should be one of the qualifications. There are characteristics of bona fide parampara also, just like we discussed characteristics of disciple, characteristics of spiritual master, like that there are characteristics of bona fide parampara also. So, Prabhupada, he mentioned some of them just in one of these quotes which we were reading. So, that parampara message should not deviate from the original founder, that is spiritual, you know, founder Acharya, and it should not deviate from Krishna's instructions. It should not, they should present a gurus, all the gurus should be bona fide, and they should present the message as it is. Then that sampradaya is bona fide sampradaya. And we see then we come to the point that it should be connected to these four Vaishnava sampradayas also. So these are, in general, these are characteristics of a bona fide parampara. If parampara is not doesn't have these qualifications, characteristics, then it is not bona fide parampara. So now we are talking about Vivaswan in particularly. Sometimes Krishna, he can start new paramparas also because he is supreme personality of Godhead. General paramparas should be connected to. Like you see now, Prabhupada may have many disciples. Each of them may have their own parampara, but their parampara should be connected to Krishna. But Krishna can independently start a parampara also. So, but general principle is what? General characteristics are this. It should be connected to one of the four sampradayas. So, for that, to understand this Vaivasvata parampara, how it is connected to four sampradayas, we should know which form of the Lord was that who gave knowledge to Sun God Vivaswan. And because Lord also accepts a spiritual master when he comes, right? So just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Lord, he accepted Ishwarpuri. Ishwarpuri comes in Brahma Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya. So he is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri who comes in Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So like that, which form of the Lord who gave instruction to Sun God Vivaswan, we have to trace that. I don't know, I did not do research. You can do that. Generally, it is there in Bhagavatam and in Ramanujacharya's commentary, it is mentioned that Surya Narayana, he is the Lord in the inside the sun planet who appeared. He gave that knowledge to Sun God Vivaswan, like that he mentions. So like that, there are hints in there are this means there is description about all these things in Shastra. So but that has to be researched. No? But general characteristics, it is true that it should be. There are only four sampradayas, and paramparas should be connected. Paramparas can be unlimited, but sampradayas only four. Paramparas can be unlimited. You got the idea. I was telling Prabhupada, you know, he has many disciples. Each one of them can, they have their own parampara. So, but the sampradaya is four only. That's why there was a challenge about Gaudiya sampradaya. From where this came, fifth sampradaya like that. Ramananda is the challenge. Then, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he traced the sampradaya's connection to Madhva sampradaya.
So here that when Lord Krishna says that parampara was broken, so parampara was broken or sampradaya it was?
What is the difference? What is the difference between sampradaya?
Which Lord Krishna is pointing out?
Parampara, no? Word parampara has come, no? There actually. And parampara constitutes sampradaya, right? Right? Parampara constitutes sampradaya, no? Or sampradaya consists of parampara, right? Just like you tell material energy. Material energy means earth, water, air, fire, ether. So you will ask whether creation took place by material energy or these eight material elements. This is your question now presently. You got the idea what I am saying? So within a sampradaya there can be many paramparas. Paramparas would be there. So parampara lost means, you see, again, each parampara may have different branches of knowledge they may teach. Like in Bhagavatam first canto, you see, he divided the Vedas and gave different Vedic knowledge to different paramparas. So they may teach different paramparas. Then, but this was particularly Bhagavad Gita, which was given to Sun God Vivaswan. So that was lost, and Krishna is retelling. And lost means what? That also, you know, question should come. This we'll discuss when we are discussing there, you know. So Prabhupada, he writes there in the purport. He did not write in the purport of those three verses. He wrote it later. In 4.7 purport he writes it. See here. The whole purpose of the towards the last line of that second last line. The whole purpose of the mission of the incarnation, 4.7 purpose, is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest only under different circumstances. So under different circumstances it becomes manifest, and because knowledge is avyaya, avyaya means it is eternal, it is. It will not be lost, destroyed or something. It manifests and unmanifests. But basically, how it unmanifests, because basically they, you know, parampara deviates. So the members of the parampara deviate means then that will become unmanifest until someone comes and revives it.
Who were the disciples of Arjuna? Like Lord is saying that I am starting parampara, you are a recipient of this lost parampara. Then Arjuna also had some disciples, or
somewhere I had heard that we have two kinds of parampara. One is, I have not read that anywhere. I don't know what is the evidence. I did not ask also. That there are two kinds of parampara. Parampara of Rajarshis and parampara of saintly persons. So we come in the parampara of saintly persons. Acharya parampara, acharyas. But now, because Kshatriya, you see, Vivaswan is gave it to his son Manu, son. It was coming in, yeah, in Bhagavad Gita it is there, in Bhagavatam also it is there. So that is called as Shukra Parampara, Shukra Sampradaya, Shukra Parampara. Shukra means seminal, seminal, from son to father, father to son, no, from father to son. And then that he becomes father and he gives it to his son. Now it was happening like that only. Vivaswan gave it to his son Vaivaswatamanu. Vaivaswatamanu gave it to his son Vikshvaku. It was a seminal parampara it was. Then Guru Shishya parampara is there. Shukra parampara and Guru Shishya parampara. So we come under Guru Shishya parampara. Now, because Kshatriya dynasties are not there existing now. So basically there are two dynasties, Chandra Vamsha and Surya Vamsha. So that was the parampara which was coming from sun god Vivaswan, it is a Surya Vamsha parampara. So in Bhagavatam it is told that in Kali Yuga these Kshatriya dynasties will become unmanifest. But there are two persons who are living now also, who will revive this Kshatriya dynasties at the end of Kali Yuga. So then again this parampara will continue, right? So this is how it works. Guru Shishya parampara and Shukra parampara, seminal disciplic succession. Seminal succession. Any other questions?
Sandhya time, when Krishna was telling Arjuna Bhagavad Gita, Sandhya was listening and telling to Dhritarashtra. Sandhya heard the Bhagavad Gita, means after leaving his body, he gone to Krishna.
Sanjaya, after?
Sanjaya
heard the Bhagavad Gita and telling to Dhritarashtra,
and Dhritarashtra
was
not hearing from Sanjaya. Heard Bhagavad Gita, so after
leaving his body, he will... Definitely, he is a disciple of Vyasa, and in the end of Bhagavad Gita, we see that he had attained love of Godhead. Iti samsrutya samsrutya. What is that? No. Samsmarana. Yeah, they are all symptoms of love of God, no? Ecstasy. What is the qualification to go back to Godhead? One should attain love of Godhead. That is the qualification. So Sanjay is a devotee in Shantarasa. Yes. So he went back to Godhead, surely.
Dhritarashtra?
Dhritarashtra also attained liberation, but from liberation they will go back to Godhead. In first canto it is there, no? Dhritarashtra left his body, he became Dhira, he went to forest. He must have merged in impersonal Brahman for some time and then he must have got back to Godhead. I don't know the details. I don't remember now, in first canto, many years before I went. Okay. Okay, any other questions? First we will take others also, we should give opportunity. Yeah. Yeah. Then anyone else? Okay, tell, ask. Yeah, because sun god means he would be in Surya Loka, no? Now Prabhupada, he traced that from based on Mahabharata, when Ikshvaku ruled the earth. So in the beginning of the Treta Yuga it is mentioned. Treta Yuga Docha, that verse is there, no? In 4.1. Now, beginning of Treta Yuga means 20 lakh, approximately 20 lakh years, he calculated. It is approximate. So, Manu is the father of mankind. Human race comes from Manu. So, it should exist from the time of Manu. Or Manu, when he gave it to... when he gave it to... Ikshvaku. So Ikshvaku, Vaivasvata Manu, where he ruled the earth, he ruled from Ayodhya. Ayodhya, in Ramayana we get to know that. So Manu built that. You read that?
Yesterday.
In the beginning only it is there. Yeah. In Ramayana we come to know that Manu, he built that city. Because he knew in the future Lord will appear there. To do service to Lord, he built that. So from that time, Vaivasvata Manu's time, when Vaivasvata Manu received knowledge from Sun God Vivaswan, from that time only it should exist in human society. But that is one way of understanding it. But Prabhupada, quoting from Mahabharata, he says, at least from the beginning of Treta Yuga, it is existing 20 lakh years. So, and Prabhupada is giving approximate, so we can understand it existed before also, before the time, because Manu is the father of mankind. So from that time only it should exist in human society. So, clear? Okay, what is your question?
Only pure devotee can see the universal form of the Lord. That one statement was quoted in his day before yesterday's class. So then in that case, my doubt was that there was one instance when Krishna goes as a messenger to the Kauravas. So that time also Krishna shows universal form and Yudhara tries to capture Krishna. So there most of the people, they see that form, but they were not pure devotees.
Yeah, but why do you think that it is the same universal form? That is a different form, no?
That was different.
Yeah, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this was never seen before by anyone, he says. That means, Krishna showed universal form to Mother Yashoda, he showed universal form to Devaki, he showed a universal form to Akrura. So many times he showed. So, but this was never seen before by anyone, means those are different. And the one which was shown to Arjuna was different. So that is how we should understand. You should have asked this question in a different way actually. In Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter, it is told that pure devotees understand, can only see this universal form. But there is another statement by Arjuna there, Arjuna or Sanjaya, there in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. By seeing this form, demigods are becoming happy and demons are running away, like that he says. You should have asked that question, right? So I should answer that now only, or when we will discuss 11th chapter, I should answer. In general, it can be seen by only pure devotees. If Krishna wants others to see, they can also see. Krishna wanted to scare all these demons, and Krishna wanted to encourage demigods, so he revealed it to them also. 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That is answer. So we will tell that time also when we will discuss. Any other questions?
Example in relation to Samadashi, you have example of
this. Ah, pass.
You have seen one point that Drona was rejected on the ground.
Drona was?
Dronacharya was rejected on the ground of Bhagavad Gita because he took the side of Kauravas.
In Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada, yeah.
Accepted him as Guru.
Yeah, there only in the Guru Nahatva hi Mahanubhavan Sheyo Bhoktum Baiksham Apihaloke Hatvartha Kamam Guru Nihaiva Kunji Abhogan Rudirap Pratikshan. How can I kill my gurus? He says, Arjuna. In the purport, Prabhupada says that they are not fit to be gurus, he says. They should be rejected.
One more point
according to scriptural codes, a teacher who engages in an abominable action and has lost his sense of discrimination is fit to be abandoned. Bhishma and Drona were obliged to take the side of Duryodhana because of his financial assistance, although they should have not accepted such a position simply on financial considerations. This, according to scriptural quotes, means this verse is from Mahabharata, which was spoken by Bhishma actually, in relation with his guru, Parashuram. Yeah, don't make noise. So attentively we should hear, just playing with a pen, playing with a bottle. So much mind is restless, Kali Yuga minds. So the point is, Parashurama, they were fighting Bhishma and Parashurama. That time he says, Parashurama, oh, I am your guru, he says. Then he told this one, guru, one who has lost a sense of discrimination. What should be done, what should not be done. And his behavior is abominable. Such guru should be rejected, he said. Now Bhishma is in the same condition now, to be rejected, because he lost his sense. Of course, Bhishma had different reasons why he had to fight on the side of. So in this way, they are not fit to be gurus. Yeah, coming.
Because you said guru is one who does not deviate from the instructions of scriptures at all. So, one of the qualifications of guru is that he comes in a chain of discipline and he does not deviate from the instructions of the scriptures of Bhagavad Gita at all. So, here the scene is that they deviated later on, before Arjuna had accepted him as spiritual master and learned the art. So, how should we understand this?
For that, later if they deviate, it is fine, because once a connection to the parampara is established, when he was in good standing, he has connected you to the parampara. So what is the purpose of initiation? We want to connect ourselves to parampara, right? So through parampara to Krishna, your connection is established. Later if he deviates, it is a misfortune. You should not take shishya from him. You should keep respectful distance from him. And you should take shiksha from someone else who is in good standing. But your connection is already established. There is no problem with that. Your initiation. Clear? But it is you are unfortunate, because you may not get shiksha from him, right? Okay. Any other questions? So therefore, keeping faith in Krishna, we should go ahead. We should take initiative. We should not think, oh, what if he will deviate? What if he will deviate? What you are going to do? And what is the other way? Is there any other way? No, there is no other way. You have to take initiation on that. That such circumstance and situation comes when one is not sufficiently developed faith in Krishna and this process of bhakti. He is completely below neophyte stage.
Which rasa Prabhupada was?
Even if you understand, even if you are told which rasa, what you are going to understand from that? Because that rasa we cannot anyway understand. What happens between Krishna and those devotees? Right or not? You got that point? What we are going to understand from knowing that, that is not so important. That's why Prabhupada said, I am Guru because not because I have relation with Krishna. I am Guru because I am presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. That we can understand. Right? So we don't have to all this other things of, you know, other character. He has relation, that is there. He is pure devotee, he is Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavata. All those things are there. We are not saying that they are not there. But the point is that he is pure representative of parampara. That is most important for us to understand. So another answer for your question is, Prabhupada himself did not reveal it and he did not feel that it is important to reveal it. So why he did not feel it is important to reveal it? Because anyway we will not understand what it is meant to be in rasa, in relationship. What is important for us is to know that whether he is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is, whether he is purely representing parampara. That is important. Okay, so he did not reveal, so I cannot tell you. If someone can tell you, someone with a transcendental vision which was given to Arjuna, so if someone says, or if Prabhupada comes and tells in the dream to someone, you can go and hear from him, whose realization is based on Swapna Pramana, fourth Pramana. My realization or my understanding is based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's clear. Sorry, I am not making you your question, making you, what is that? Insulting you. But this is important point to know. Any other questions?
I think it's very different.
Ah. 2.5 Guruhana Hatvahi Mahanubhava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have to put cow dung to the temple hall. So who is there available? Not good thing to do that. Body language is also very important in bhakti. The body language of the people who sit to the wall is not sign of Prabhupada said, no, sit properly in japa, he said. Right or not? Because that creates a good, important mood for chanting, actually. Reverence. One should chant, in one first canto of purport, Prabhupada writes, one should chant Hare Krishna mantra with awe and reverence. If you sit in the chair like this, then that is not awe and reverence, definitely. We should sit straight, properly, in the association of devotees. So we are, sometime we develop a body language of the Americans. Their style of walking, talking, that nasty. I was seeing one, our Guru Maharaj sent one link, website recently I was seeing of this Subramanya Swami. Subramanya Swami was speaking about, he's a politician from Tamil Nadu. So, national figure. So, he was speaking on Vedic economics. So, he was differentiating between, he was telling how Vedic economics was based on spiritual self-realization. They lived very simple life. Whatever was necessary for, their whole focus was on self-realization. He was discriminating between a difference between Indians and Americans. Americans, they dress, if they are not dressed properly, then it can do lot of difference. They have to daily shave themselves. There are many codes of conduct in America. They should have some dress code proper and all those things. Then he was telling Gandhi how he was. So Gandhi was just bare. They commented on Gandhi, this person should be something, I just don't remember all this. So, because I was not here and not interviewing. We know all this Vedic economics and all. Goraksha, Krishi Goraksha Vanijam, Vaishakarma Sambhujam. So, in this way, so there is a Indian dress code. Indian means Vedic culture, which is culture of the spiritual world. Nowadays there is propaganda to differentiate Indian culture from Krishna consciousness. So that is Krishna West, which is coming now, new movement which is coming. You don't have to get up for Mangal Aarti, you don't have to wear dhoti kurta, you can come in shorts to the temple, you can bring dog to the temple.
Dog also can be brought
in. I'm just giving some examples. You can etc., etc., etc. You can fill in the blanks.
They are doing this.
It was not done now. Doing now, it was already done previously. So, one ISKCON guru used to come with a dog to the temple hall. See, this is Indians, you know, they are shocked actually to hear all this. You are all Indians. That's why you are all Indians. This is Indian culture. That is Kirtanananda Swami. Hare Krishna. Srila.